Let's turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18. I want to go to verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. It's real tempting to just spend a lot of time on what happened yesterday. And I don't want to do that because I'm still processing some things. I'm still going over some stuff in my own head. And just it's more than just what we heard yesterday. But I think that this can come true, and I'm sure it's going to filter in tonight, that there's things that we'll address tonight that can tie into what we heard yesterday. And even over some of the controversy that people want to bring into yesterday, although it wasn't controversial, but people want to bring that in. And I think to some degree that ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. But Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15, Moses is responding to a question that the disciples, or that the people are raising. And he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die.'" Now, to bring you up to speed on this, God had brought Israel out of Egypt. They brought them to the mountain at Horeb for God to talk to. And the people said, "No, we don't want to talk to God directly, but give us a man, give us somebody. You talk to Moses and we'll listen to Moses." Well, Moses became a prophet at that point to begin to speak for God to the people, but God didn't want it that way. And now toward the end of things, the people are asking, "Well, what are we going to do after Moses dies? What's going to happen to us?" And so he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." Now let's continue in verse 17. "And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him.'" Now we're going to come back to different sections of this. "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." Said, "You didn't want to talk to me. You asked for a prophet. I'm going to give you a prophet." And he sets out some conditions on that. And then he says, "Whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So one of the initial questions I want to answer tonight is, how do we recognize a prophet? And the answer is real simple. You recognize a prophet and what he says comes to pass. And if what he says doesn't come to pass, he's not a prophet and you can ignore him. You don't have to worry about him. You don't have to be afraid of him because he doesn't speak on behalf of God. Now, some of the things that I want to look at this evening, the keynote of a prophet is what they say comes to pass. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and we'll look at that scripture. Proverbs chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19. It says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to with it." Before I get into some things, let me give you another scripture. Ecclesiastes 5:7, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity, but fear God." Now, some of the key things he's saying, to put this with prophecy, it's easy to speak a lot of words, but the more words you speak, the easier it is to get into sin. I mean, that ought to caution us to not say a lot. That alone ought to tell us just be silent sometimes and just listen. Don't try to talk to and respond to everything that you hear. When you put this in the context of a prophet, what does a prophet say? Well, first of all, a prophet doesn't speak out of his own wisdom or initiative. In Deuteronomy 18, it says God will give the words to the prophet. And if you tend to speak abundantly with what God has not given you, you tend to get into error, and you tend to get into controversy, and you tend to create situations that need not to be created, and you prove that you're not from God. If you listen. Now, so I want to get into four characteristics of a prophet, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and it's real tempting to do that. A prophet speaks the words that the Lord has given to him. He doesn't speak other words. He speaks what the Lord has given to him. So four characteristics of a prophet. First, and we can find this from Deuteronomy 18, God has chosen them. He says, I will raise up a prophet from your midst. He isn't voted on. A council doesn't come together and say, okay, we choose him to be a prophet. There's a lot of bishops around in the world today, and I never understood. I thought I had my concept of a bishop, and a lot of denominations, they have bishops. And when you find out that how they get to be a bishop, you can buy a bishopry. And this is how they get to be bishops. It's not because they've achieved so much. It's not because they're over so many churches or congregations or even over a district, but you raise money, and a lot of times the churches will pay for this, and they'll raise money and they'll pay the denomination to call their pastor a bishop. Well, you can't be a prophet that way. You can't buy being a prophet. I don't really think you can buy being a bishop, but, you know, some people do that, but we think too often, we fall into this pattern of where we think that we can choose and select on our own and God will honor that. But you can't choose to be a prophet. You can't vote a prophet in. I might add, you can't vote a prophet out either. You know, a prophet is a prophet is a prophet. I mean, a prophet is chosen of God, and we have to recognize that, but it's more than being chosen of God. We've got to. What makes a prophet? Well, what he says comes to pass. And this comes to the second characteristic of a prophet. God puts his words in his mouth. God gives the prophet words. I want to go to John 17:8. I'll just read it to you. Jesus said, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." So Jesus is saying here, we know Jesus is a prophet. We know he's more than a prophet. He's the Son of God, but he's also a prophet. And he says, "I have given to them the words which you have given me." So Jesus says, you know, I've only spoken, and we can give you other scripture for this. I only speak what I hear from my Father. I only say what the Father commands me to say. So God is putting his words into the mouth of Jesus, and we know Jesus is a sure prophet. Amen. The third thing about a prophet, third characteristic, is that the prophet speaks all that God commands him. Now, a prophet doesn't always speak everything, but he speaks everything that God commands him to speak. The fourth thing about a prophet, others are required to listen. Isn't that what Deuteronomy say? For those who do not listen to the prophet that I send, that I give the words to, I will hold them accountable for not hearing it. So if there's a prophet, and there's a prophet that God would raise up in our midst, we are required to listen to him. For what we reject, we will be held accountable for. And what we receive, we will be held responsible for. Amen? So those are important things. We are held accountable for what we hear and what we dismiss, because God has anointed the prophet to speak, and he requires us. So how can that be a characteristic of a prophet? Well, it's a characteristic because what he says has power, has authority, and God expects you to listen, and if you don't, you'll be held accountable for it. Now, if he's not a prophet, you're not held accountable. But if he is, you are held accountable for that. So here's the question, and here's the text or the message that I want to spend time on tonight. Are you the prophet of your own life? Are you the prophet of your own life? Now let me go through these four characteristics and apply them to you. Because so often we're looking at, well, I'm looking for a prophet. We're looking for someone outside to speak to us, but you're a prophet. And God has appointed you to be a prophet of your own life. Now, I'm not talking about the office of prophet. I'm not talking about giving prophecy to the body. I'm talking about, are you a prophet for your own life? First of all, if God chooses prophets, do you qualify? Has God chosen you? You know, and you can ask, and a lot of people would say, well, I don't really know if God's chosen me or not. Well, let me read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He says there, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus, if you are a Christian, then you are a chosen generation. So we could all look at ourselves and say, yeah, God's chosen me. So I meet the first qualification of a prophet. I am chosen of God, okay? Now, the second thing, do you have the Word of God? Well, we listen, we pray. I don't know that God's given me a word. We need to start getting real. In John 17, 8, Jesus said, for I have given to them the words which you have given me. Jesus said, I've given them the words. So God, Jesus says, I've given you the words. I gave you what God gave me to give to you, so you have the word. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 10? The word is nigh thee, it is in your mouth and in your heart. The word that I speak, the word of salvation, the word of faith is in you. If you've heard the word of God, it's in you. If you've heard the things of God, it's in you. That word that you heard. You don't know all the counsel of God. I don't believe any of us in the earth today know the full counsel of God, but we can know some of the counsel of God. And if you know some of the counsel of God, it comes because of faith, because of the Word of God. It comes because God is already dealing with your heart. And so God has given you the Word to prophesy to yourself. Well, let's go on. Has God commanded you to speak? That's the third qualification of a prophet. You know, a prophet speaks all that God commands him. So has God commanded you to speak? Well, let me ask this question. What is your motivation to speak? Is it God? Is it the circumstances? Is it the situations? Because a lot of us, God will tell us one thing, but we're more moved by the situation and the circumstances than we are by God. Are you moved by pride? Is that what motivates you to talk? Are you in a conversation? It's like, well, you just got to talk because, well, they're saying stuff and I've just got to talk and they've got to hear what I have to say because what I have to say is really important. And sometimes it is. Sometimes what you have to say is important. But I found out in a lot of conversations, instead of interrupting and instead of trying to give what I think they need to know, if I listen long enough, they'll get themselves around in a situation to where they are now prophesying to themselves. You know, I get around sinners a lot, and it's real funny because, yeah, I know that you're a believer. I know that you're a pastor. I know that you're a believer. And they start talking about how bad they are and how all these things are, and they finally get around and say, I know, I just need to trust God. I haven't said a word. They've already preached the gospel to themselves. They've already convicted themselves, and they're right at the point of repentance. You know, and some of them won't go that far. You know, they talk to themselves that I know I need to do these things, but they stop short of actually doing it. But so I just let them preach. I just, yeah, you're right. You're right. God is the answer. You know, I had one here several weeks ago, and he says, you know, I don't have any problems with God, but he says, I got problems with church. I say, amen, brother. I got problems with church too. If it wasn't for God invading my space, I'd still be religious. But God wants to invade your space. He wants to get you out of religion into the body of Christ which is the people of God. And we forget that church is not a building. Church is not an institution. Church is an assembly of the people of God. And there's lots of people that get together when they're not in church, but there is an assembly of God. Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the church. But the church is the assembly of the chosen, frozen, of those who are under the proper denominational barrier. It's like, no. The church is the people of God. And I find a lot of times it's easier to get in than what we want to make it. Because we want to make all kinds of hoops. And there's times I want to make hoops too, but I got to remember, God accepts people at their level, not mine. And if they come to God with their heart, God accepts them on that level. He demands of me greater things. And I have the tendency to want to force that on other people. And God has to remind me, he says, but I didn't call them to do what you do. Yeah, I know. But I fall back. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel, and we are. But you got to start where you're at. Amen. You've got to start where God wants you to be. So has God commanded you to speak? See, a lot of times God gives us words to speak, and he wants us to speak what God's put on our heart. But sometimes we speak not out of what God has put in our heart, but we speak out of our situation. And we begin to prophesy out of our situation. Think of what Jonah said in the whale. Oh, woe is me. And that's what most of us prophesy. Woe is me. Yeah, and then we start and end there. Woe is me. Oh, I've done so many things in my life. I've goofed up so many things that how can anything good happen for me anymore? Well, you're prophesying, aren't you? But did God tell you to prophesy that over yourself? No. Your situation is, and you're yielding to the situation, and you're prophesying to you're prophesying your future out of your present, and you can't do that. You prophesy your future out of Jesus Christ, out of what he has done, and out of the calling of God on your life. That's what you prophesy. Because if you prophesy out of your situation, well, now how are we to decide with the glass half full, do we prophesy it's half full or half empty? Do you prophesy it's filling up or it's evaporating? What do you prophesy? It's like, well, I don't really know. That's right, you don't know. But you can know your calling. You can know what God has done in your life. You can know these things. And you can begin to prophesy to yourself out of those things. I know when I got saved, and I'm a preacher's kid, but I really didn't know much. And when I got born again, I just started talking to God because I hadn't been in church yet to where they told me God doesn't talk back to you. I just started talking to God. And he just answered me because I ask him questions all the time. And I developed a relationship with God. And then God used that to lead me and to guide me. And there was a lot of mistakes that I made. But God didn't try to correct me on every mistake because I'd still be in college. Golly, take a long time, you know. I never would have got the graduation. I never would have made it. So God just began to talk to me, and he dealt with me where I was. But he led me step by step by step. And then when I got out of college and got married and went back to church, I heard the preacher say, well, God doesn't talk to us anymore like he did the prophets of old. You know, he talks to us out of the Bible and out of tradition. So I stopped talking to God. And I thought I was doing the right thing because I wanted to be a good little Christian. I wanted to fall into the denomination because they knew what they were talking about, right? And I found out they didn't. Now, understand, I went through seminary. I was born again, married for about 3 years, and worked in a job. And then I went to seminary for 3 years, got a call of God, had no clue what it was. Got a call of God, and God was dealing with my heart. Pastored a church for 3 years, came here to pastor a church, and I'm reading John chapter 10. And he says in there, my sheep know my voice. Now think about that. My sheep know my voice. And for the first time in about 9 years, I asked God a question differently than what I had asked him before because I was expecting a response. I think we miss God a lot of times because we ask the right questions, but we don't hang around for a response. And I asked God a simple question. I said, what does it mean that my sheep know my voice? He said, because I talk to you. I said, you talk to us? He said, yeah. Remember those 3 years in college? I said, that was you? He goes, yeah. I repented on the spot because I shut that off. I just quit talking to God because I wanted to be a good little Christian. And God is leading me. He's dealing with me, but he's dealing with me outside the parameters of the church and outside the parameters of the denomination. And for the revival that we're getting ready to go into, or some say it's already started, and I kind of believe that it's already started, it's going to be outside the parameters that we accept. It's going to come from unusual sources like a Glenn Beck because, well, he's a Mormon. We don't know whether we should really follow him. But he's listening to God, and God is talking to him. And his theology may not all be correct. I don't believe, I can't say that. The Mormon theology may not be correct, but I don't think Glenn Beck is hearing the theology of the church. I think he's hearing the voice of God. Just like I heard the voice of God and it didn't agree with my denomination. Understand what I'm saying? I heard the voice of God and I was obedient to the voice of God. And as long as I'm obedient to that voice of God, he'll lead me in the right direction. Now there's things I have to understand about how to hear, but he'll teach you those things if you listen. Debbie had a message, oh golly, I forget how long ago it was, but that the grace of God teaches us. And if you abide in the grace of God, abide in his mercy, his grace will take you step by step, and his grace will teach you the things that you need to know at the time that you are ready to learn it. But you've got to be obedient to the heavenly call, obedient to God, obedient to his voice, and let his voice teach us the things that he wants us to know. And you can't not plan the procedure for that. I wish you could. We've had classes on how to hear the voice of God. We've taught people how to hear the voice of God. And they heard God, but they weren't rooted and grounded in themselves. And after a while, they got flaky. Because they started on the belief, everything I hear is God. Well, when I was born again and God started talking, I knew there were some thoughts that came in my head that were not God. I had that part figured out. And I had it confirmed from the Bible later on that Satan spoke to Jesus. And Jesus knew the difference. He even says, my sheep know the voice of the shepherd, but they also know the false shepherds. But I've had people, spirit-filled, charismatic, tongue talkers, that knew the voice of God, that have said to me, I don't hear any voice but the voice of God. Wrong. You hear all kinds of voices, you know? And you need to learn which one's God and which one isn't. And you need to follow the right voice. But you can't just follow every voice that comes along. You can't follow everybody who calls themselves a prophet. Because even in Deuteronomy, he says, you know a prophet by what he says comes to pass, but if what he says doesn't come to pass, he's not a prophet. Don't follow him. Don't go that direction. So he's saying that there will be false prophets, false people to rise up. Well, I want to tell you, your situation is false because you cannot predict your future out of where you're at, because if you could, we're all going to hell because we're all sinners. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah for grace. Hallelujah that God intervened in our situation and saved us, and we believe the word of God over our situation. That's how you got born again. How you begin to advance in life is I believe that more things are possible than what is going on right now in my life, and I'm going to believe that over my situation, which says it's a dead-end street. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that by his stripes we were healed rather than the doctor's report, there's no hope for you. See, I've got a choice. Now, it may be that the doctor's report, his studies, his tests may be correct, but that doesn't determine my future. It may be that you've blown it and you've blown it royally, but that doesn't determine your future. God, the power of the resurrection, determines your future and your faith in that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So which voice do you hear? Has God commanded you to speak? Do you listen to the situation more than you listen to what God has to say? Do you listen to the pride in your heart that won't admit sin, that won't admit correction, that won't admit that? Do you listen to that pride? Does it keep you out of the kingdom of God? See, all these things, why do you speak? Why do you, I've been around Christians. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and nobody dare tell me anything different than that. And what they mean is nobody can tell me I'm wrong because I hear God and I'm righteous. It's like, well, I got news for you. You can still be wrong on some things. Pride goeth before the fall. And when you get too prideful, you won't hear God trying to bring correction into your life because you think you've got it all together. Well, I think one of the great revelations of Christians is I know a lot, and God is with me, and God is for me, and no weapon formed against me can prosper, but yet I still need to be corrected. I still need to keep that voice. There was a Sunday school teacher in my first church, and his favorite illustration was when Caesar rode through the Roman Empire, when he came back from a great victory, and they put, or the general it was, that won a great victory, and put the crown on his head, and everybody's going through town, and you're calling him a god, and oh, you're wonderful, and all this stuff. He had a guy riding in the chariot with him, whispering to him, "Tomorrow they'll turn on you." He was bringing, it's like, it's good to have people praise you, but you need to have that still small reminder voice. Don't let it go to your head. Because the same people that cheered Jesus and praised him as the king entering into Jerusalem, the next day were crying to crucify him. So we need to be cautious of what we hear and understand why what we're hearing. And what is it that God has commanded us to speak? Well, the question I raise is, has God commanded you to speak? I want to go to John 3:34. I'll just read it to you. It says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." We already figured out we're called, we're set apart. "For God does not give the Spirit by measure." So it says here, "For whom God has sent speaks the words of God." So if God has sent us and God has anointed us to be a prophet in our own lives, then it's up to God to give us the words to speak to ourselves. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." But he says, we're praying that we would have the boldness, that God would anoint us with a boldness to speak the word of God. You know, when you're in a dire situation, it takes boldness to speak the word of God. When things look like they're going against you, you look like an idiot speaking the word of God. Now, we know that the scripture says that God's gifts and callings are without repentance. That means that when God has called us, he doesn't change his opinion. That means the giftings that God has given to us, God doesn't suddenly say one day, "Well, you know, I really don't like you as much as I did yesterday, so I'm going to take the gift back." He doesn't do that. He gives the gifts, he gives the callings, and he doesn't change his mind. Why? Because God created you in the womb, he knew you, and he anointed you and has prepared you to do certain works in your life. He gave it from birth. We don't recognize those things until after we're born again and God stirs them back up in us, but those gifts and callings are there. But I'll tell you, when you're, how do I say this? I was so excited when I got born again. I went back to my church, and one of the elders in the church, he was a dear man. I loved him. I love still, well, he's dead now, so I can't say I loved him. Still do, but he was a good man, solid man. But I was so excited. I shared my salvation experience with him of how God, and you'll get over it. I didn't want to get over it. But what he's saying is the calling that you're feeling is going to pass away. The callings don't pass away. We can bury them, we can walk away from them, but the calling does not pass away. But in that situation, if I would have said to him, and I didn't know enough then, I probably would have kept it to myself even had I known, but in my heart I said, "I don't want to lose this feeling." But I could have easily let him talk me out of what God was preparing for me in my life. I could easily have yielded. And had I stood up and just said, I believe the call of God on my life, and I believe it, I don't care what anybody else has to say. If I would have said that, they would have, you are off your rocker. So some things, like God hadn't commanded me to say that. But in ignorance, I didn't say something like that. But in my heart, it's like, but I don't want to lose this. And people will come and talk you out of the calling of God in your life. They'll talk you out of your healing. They'll talk you out of your liberty. They'll talk you out of the freedom that you have in Jesus. They'll talk you out of the things in your heart that you want to do. They'll talk you out of it. You know, I'm trying to talk you into it because I know some things about you that I know where God would have you, and I've got to talk you into it because you've already petrified, and you won't be moved from what you've convinced yourself that you are. That's a word of the Lord. He said petrified. I would have used a lot nicer word. But he said, some of you have been petrified. And see, we're trying to talk you into the calling and giftings of God because you've already talked yourself out of them. And that's why the church doesn't advance. That's why people don't go beyond where they are, because they've let the situation talk to them rather than the things of God. It takes boldness. When there are threats that come against you, it takes just a Holy Ghost boldness to say, no, I will not die. I will not surrender. I will not quit. You know, with our church split, 13, 14 years ago, there's people that say, you mean you're still here? Say, well, thanks for the encouragement. You know, are you still preaching the same thing? Yes, we're still preaching the same thing. Say, but there's people that they wanted to talk us into death. They wanted to talk us out of the calling of God. And they were shocked because we didn't listen to their voices. They were stunned that we decided God has called us, God has appointed us, and this is here until God changes his mind. And I haven't heard anything different from God yet. You know, I don't care what people say, it's what God says that matters. So it takes a boldness to speak the word of God in your situation. It takes boldness to speak against the threats that would come against you, trying to limit you and restrain you from doing what God has called you to do. Let me give you another verse. Has God commanded you to speak? Acts 5:20. God talked to the disciples, and he said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Go, speak, tell people about this. So we have a command there to go. But let me give you another command. We don't think of it quite this way, but I think we need to. In Mark chapter 16. And you already know where I'm going. Jesus gave a final command to the disciples. That means it's to us, the new believers. He said to them, go in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now what's the first part of that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I want to tell you something. You need to preach it to yourself, don't you? You need to preach the gospel to yourself. You know, when you say, well, I got born again. Oh, what does born again mean? I got to preach it to myself. Born again means I believe in Jesus. I ask Jesus to come in my heart. I believe he came in. I'm a new person. I may not always feel new, but I'm a new person because I put my faith out there in God. I've got to preach that to myself. So many people, quote, lose their salvation for the simple reason they haven't learned to preach to themselves. They haven't learned to talk to themselves. And you talk to yourself all the time. Everyone does. You know, whenever you hit your thumb with a hammer, stupid, stupid. We play golf with this one guy. Every time he hits a bad shot, stupid, dummy, dummy, dummy. I'm thinking, oh, don't prophesy that to yourself. Don't say it. But we say that to ourselves. We prophesy to ourselves, well, this is just the way life was meant to be, and nothing will ever change. You're prophesying to yourself. Well, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Well, where do you start? You start with yourself. I am a believer. Because the devil, you don't really believe. First time you sin, first time you mess up. So you didn't really mean that when you asked Jesus in your heart. You really didn't mean that. And you got to start preaching yourself. Yes, I did. I did mean that. I made a commitment to Jesus. Well, Jesus doesn't really live in you because look what you just did. Look, I invited Jesus into my heart. Bible says if I believe that he comes immediately. I don't have to wait a month. I don't have to wait a year. He comes when I ask him in my heart. Therefore, I am born again. You've got to talk to yourself. You've got to prophesy to yourself. On the giftings of God, you've got to prophesy to yourself. Lord, I don't know what's going on here all the time, but Lord, I believe you put me in this space. And God, I'm going to do the best that I can in this opportunity because of you. And you discover your giftings and your callings when you begin to prophesy to yourself to not get talked out of something. Now, if you're doing something and you're really lousy at it, you're probably not called. But there's a lot of people that are called into things that talk themselves out of it because they haven't learned to preach to themselves. And they lose the calling of God because they talk themselves out of it, because they refuse to preach to themselves. Well, you got to do it. You got to preach to yourself. So we've already established the first three things about a prophet for you, that you are called by God. God has given you the words. And the prophet commands you, or God, the prophet is commanded to speak what God has given to him. And you're commanded to speak the things of God to yourself. You're commanded to speak it to the world, but you're commanded to speak it to yourself. I am the righteousness of God. I am a believer. I am. To prophesy these things to yourself. Now, the fourth characteristic of a prophet. Now, catch this. Should you listen to what you say? Because God will hold you accountable, because if you're prophesying, he'll hold you accountable to hear what the prophet has to say. And yet we've all in this room said, I believe that God has a calling on my life. Did you listen? Are you pursuing it? Is it petrified? What are you doing with the calling that you believe God has on your life? Well, I don't think it's a big calling. I didn't ask how big it was. The Bible says we're all ministers of the gospel. He said Jesus commanded every believer to go into all the world and preach the gospel to Christ. How much more of a calling do you need? Well, I don't know if I should be at the market on Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you think that's a calling, you've already missed God. Because you're going to wind up talking yourself out of the callings and the giftings of God because you're waiting for God to give you a specific date and time to be someplace. And normally he doesn't do that. Sometimes he'll say, go to the market. Sometimes he'll do that. God doesn't deal with me that way. I know some people, well, God told me what clothes to put on this morning. Well, if you have to have God tell you to get dressed, I think there's already some issues. Okay? Between you and me, I think there's some issues. If you wake up in the morning, get dressed. First clue. If you want to wear something, God gives you freedom of choice. He's not too concerned about what you wear. As long as it's decent and modest. Amen. But we get off on these little tangents and we're trying to, oh, has God called me? Where should I be right now? If you don't know where you should be, pray. Seek God. Honor him with your whole heart. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be given to you. But we're seeking the stuff. We're seeking all the specific little details, and we're missing the calling of God. So, do you hold yourself accountable to what you say? Well, you should only if you say what God says. Because if you don't speak what God says, don't be afraid of him. Now, let me give you some illustrations on this. If you say, well, I'm a loser and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Okay, did God say it? No. Did God command you to say it? No. So should you listen to that? No. Isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? This is what I tell people. You should read the Word of God and find out what God has to say, because then you can start prophesying that stuff to yourself. God says, I'm more than a conqueror. Woo! Hallelujah. So when I'm in trouble, what am I going to say? I'm more than a conqueror. I may not feel like more than a conqueror, but the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. So when trouble rises up, when trouble comes my way, when situations begin to obstruct, I'm more than a conqueror, God. I'm going to prophesy that to myself, and I'm going to listen to what I prophesy. I'm going to listen to what I say because I will be held accountable. If I listen to the words of a prophet, I'll get a prophet's reward. And the prophet's reward is the words that the prophet speaks over you. So if the prophet, talking about myself, prophesies to myself that I'm more than an overcomer, if I don't listen to it, I will be held accountable to the word that I refuse to hear. But if I listen to myself, I'm more than a conqueror. Listen, I'm more. I love the illustration. Most of you have heard it. But what is more than a conqueror? Well, it's like a championship boxer that goes into a ring and he fights the fight of his life and he comes out winning and he gets the belt, they give him the check, he's a conqueror. Man, he has beat the other guy and he comes out and he's battered, he's bruised, his eye is swollen up, he's got cuts on himself, he hurts, he aches, he goes home and the wife says, honey, how'd you do? He says, dear, I won. She puts out her hand, he puts the check in her hand, she's more than a conqueror. He did all the fighting, but she gets the check, she gets the victory, and she didn't spend 1 second in the ring. She didn't get one punch. Well, Jesus conquered heaven and hell for us. Jesus conquered death for us. And we are more than a conqueror because we say, Lord, come into my life. And he gives us the price has been paid, and he makes us more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. So we need to listen to what God has told us to say and to listen to those things because God is telling us to prophesy to ourselves and he's given us the word and put the word in our mouth to prophesy to ourselves to get us out of the situation we're in and into the things of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12. I want to go to verse 34. Jesus is not talking to believers here. He's talking to a bunch of religious folk. We already know what they're like. And he says, I love this. He said, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man brings out good treasure from the abundance of his heart. Why do we prophesy as believers? Why do we prophesy such negative things about ourselves, about our family, about our children, about our future? It's because we don't have enough good treasure in our heart to speak out of. We've still got all that old rotten treasure in our heart, and we bring that out and we speak of those things rather than the things of God. Paul puts this in perspective. He said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You speak of that which consumes your heart. Either carnality, carnal things, or the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and life. Well, if Jesus gives us the words to speak and the words are spirit and life, then if we speak the things that Jesus spoke, we're speaking spirit and we're speaking life. Because these are the same words that Jesus gave to us. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. He writes, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. He said, our words are life to those who find them. If we will begin to speak the things of God that God has spoken over our lives, we begin to speak life. So are your words, are what you speak. Now listen to and think about the things, not that you want to say, but the things you do say. Are they life or death to you? Are what you speak, is it life to you? Does it encourage you? Or does it defeat you? Does it keep you in your cave? Or does it bring you out into the light? See, your words come from your heart. And they come out of what consumes your heart. And if it's always negative words, if you're always putting yourself down, you need to have a heart change. Are your words death? Are they dying? Are they can't? Or are your words life and favor and health? Do you speak all things are possible to me because I'm a believer? Do your words say I can do all things through Christ? Because every time you speak, you're prophesying to yourself. Every time you speak, you're directing your future. Every time you speak, you're releasing the power of life or death into your current situation. We need to encourage ourselves. The Bible tells us David had to encourage himself. When they went to the battle of Ziklag, when they left to go to battle and the enemy came into their camp and they took all their goods, all their possessions, all their family, took everything away. And David and his men pursued after them. And they got so far and they were exhausted. And David sat in the dust. And all the men said, should we kill him? Because look where he brought us to. No one was encouraging David. But the Bible says David encouraged himself. Some of us are at that point. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to prophesy to ourselves. David encouraged himself and he buffed himself up in the Lord. He took spiritual steroids and he got himself into the mind of God. And he said, God, what should I do? He started feeling better. You know, when you don't feel good, you don't want to do anything. When you start feeling better, you begin to ask God, what do you want me to do? And God said, pursue, and everything they took, I'll return to you. Boy, that's an encouraging word, isn't it? But he never would have gotten that word had he not listened to God and encouraged himself in the things of the Lord. Again, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I mean, you got enough out of this to prophesy to yourself for a long time. If you don't know anything other than 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. So I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I am a special people unto God. Amen. See, I'm special. I'm unique. I'm in God's favor. See, you've got to begin to say these things to yourself. It goes on to say, to proclaim the praises of him who called me out of darkness. Man, I'm called out of darkness. I was in, but now I'm out. I'm out. He's called me into his marvelous light. I was once not a people of God, but now I have obtained mercy, and now I am a people of God. See, I can prophesy to myself out of that scripture. I don't have to know a lot. I just have to have a little bit and begin to prophesy to myself. I'll close with this. Acts chapter 13, 46. Acts 13, 46. I like this one. Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. They're preaching. And he says, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. He said, we preached it to you, but you didn't hear. So you judge yourself. Now think about it. Unworthy to receive eternal life. Why? Because you rejected the gospel. How many of us as believers have judged ourselves to be unworthy of the giftings and the callings of God. Because we've rejected the Word of God. We've rejected what God has spoken to us. We've chosen to not act on it. We've chosen to not believe it. And when we do that, we've judged ourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And they say, because of that, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, I have set, and this is, he's quoting Scripture, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. I like verse 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. See, one was sad, one was glad. Some of us here, but you're a chosen generation. That couldn't possibly be me. Well, you just judge yourself unworthy. But the Gentile, they were glad. A chosen generation. Us? We're a chosen generation. God would choose us? Why? Because all their life they had been told that they were unworthy. All their life they were told that you couldn't achieve, that you couldn't do these things. And all of a sudden, we're a chosen generation? We're a royal priesthood? They received it with gladness, hallelujah, and glorified the word of the Lord. Listen, they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. See, they judged themselves worthy. They said, this could be me, yeah. Jesus has selected me. I'm a chosen generation. I'm not an accident. I am chosen to be in these things. See, we need to believe what God has spoken over us. We need to speak what we believe to ourselves. We need to preach the gospel, the good news, to ourselves first. We need to say the things that God has said over us. We need to prophesy the positive things about God. Amen. We need to do that. And in this day and hour, when there's all kinds of persecution, there's all kinds of attacks, there's all kinds of things coming against you, we need to do it even more. We need to do it even more, that we are chosen, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, that we are a people who once didn't know mercy, but now we know mercy. And it's by His mercy, it's by His grace that we can say these things over us. It's not out of pride. It's not out of being consumed on ourselves. It's out of the mercy of God that God would say these things to us. Praise be to God. He is so good. He is so good. His mercy abounds forever. It endures to 1,000 generations if we will receive Him. Amen? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. I know Jeff just had to leave to deal with something, but I won't give an opportunity because I know Jeff and his fiance came in to get born again tonight. And I wanted to preach the word because this is for you two. This is for you guys. That I don't know much about you. Your dad's told me a little bit, but I don't know much. But I know that when we're in a bad situation, you need to have somebody say something good about you because there's so much negative coming in. And when you're at the point of making that decision to give your life to God, the devil always wants to come in and always wants to put the worst possible reasons forward for you to accept Jesus. That it can't change, it won't change, that God won't make a difference. What we've been preaching tonight is the Word of God will change you. It'll change us when you invite God into your life. So I want to give that altar call for you and Jeff to come up, and I want to pray with you guys to receive Jesus Christ, if that's still what you want to do. I don't want to force you into it. Josh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. So we're just going to ask for you to bow your heads, and we're just going to pray. And we're going to get two more people in the kingdom of God tonight. And they're going to start prophesying to themselves. They're going to start prophesying, we can do this thing. We can do this. And God's blessing is going to be on them. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Stephen, go ahead. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.